I would ask in the very beginning if you would not forget the burden of our heart about the preening. And if there's a pastor here that has not received, that hadn't received one of these packets, I would love to put one in your hand before the service is over. I remember the years when I was in evangelism, and my daughters, after they were home, they traveled with me for a good while, and then they began to stay at home. They had schooling and different things, and I would always try to bring them a gift. When I was away, I would be gone a week, and I'd always try to pick them up little something. They were very easy to entertain. They didn't ask for much, didn't ask for anything, but out of the goodness of my heart, I'd just bring them a little something. And then one evening, I thought, they would just hug me up and they'd run. And then one evening I went in with my gifts, and they grabbed my gifts and I didn't get to hug. And they were more interested in what I would give them than they were me. And so from that day on, I cut the gifts off. I wonder if God doesn't do that some. We get so involved in what He's giving us and what He's done for us that we forget who it is that's doing it. And let me say to you that every movement of God toward humanity is an undeserved act of God's grace. Every movement, everything that God's done for me, I deserve none of it. And I don't ever want to get to the place that I'm more preoccupied with what He's given me than I am the giver Himself. And I think what happens a lot of times is that brings a complacency in our own hearts. We get to magnifying, and I'm not against it, don't get me wrong, we get to magnifying what He's done instead of magnifying Him. And boy, I'm thankful for the good grace of God. Boy, He's been good to me, and I bless His name. I've enjoyed last night. I really did. I enjoyed my time here. Good fellowship with the moderator. I appreciate Brother Phillips. Been knowing of him for about 85 or 90 years, I guess. But I've been knowing of him, but hadn't got the fellowship with him. And I sure have enjoyed. We have a kindred spirit, and I appreciate that. But let me say to you, don't lose what you've got here. I traveled all across this country from coast to coast, preached in about every state over these past 50 years. I beg you, don't lose what you've got. You're going to need one another the closer we come to the coming of the Lord. We're going to need one another. Somebody said, I don't need anybody. You're the one I'm talking to. We're going to need one another in these days. Iron sharpeneth iron. And I can assure you one thing, there's not much iron left. There's a lot of synthetic stuff, but there's not much iron left. Don't lose what you've got. How many of you is perfect? Raise your hands. Thank the Lord. Well, nobody responded, and I'm glad. We're needy people. And we can look over our faults and look to one who has no faults and worship Him and magnify Him. I'm not taking up time. God put it in my heart to say that, and I feel like I've got old enough now that I can say that. Don't lose what you've got. Protect it the devil would desires to destroy this. And he'll do it not from without, but from within. You've got to protect it in your own heart. Protect it. Protect it. Love one another. Protect it. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. Somebody said, oh no, preacher. Yeah. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I'm going to read two verses of scripture here and give you what the Lord has assigned to us for tonight. You've got a good man coming in tomorrow night and Sunday night. I've been knowing Brother Bobby for, well, ever since he was a kid. And I appreciate him so much. Verse number 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I'm going to preach tonight. God been at my helper, and I'll say my goodbyes here, but I'm going to try to drive home tonight. If the law allows and the Lord allows, I'll get there. But I want to preach from living in bitterness to the life of blessedness. From living in bitterness to the life of blessedness. As I was studying, you know how it is a lot of times, all you find in the First Chronicles is just a list of names for the first 9 chapters. And you can, you know, when you come to those chapters, you can, if you have daily Bible reading in your Bible, then you can read through these chapters in about 15 or 20 seconds. For the simple fact that you can't pronounce most of these names. And if you was looking for a name to name your child, you wouldn't go to one of these lists. And as I was breezing through here one day, the Holy Ghost said to my heart, there's another book with a list of names in it. And if I did that list like you're doing this list, there wouldn't be much accomplished in your life. So for my own sake, and to get the Lord off my back, I just went through and tried to pronounce all of these names. Well, that took a while. And I can't remember hardly any of them. But when I came here, we find that God, and what I thought about too is that God knows my name. He knows my name. He knows your name. And I'm glad that God don't have any, what's his names? I'm glad that he don't have to turn to the angel and say, now, that's like I've had to do over the years. I'm glad he has no what's his names. He knows our name. And I was coming through here studying this, God naming names one right after the other. And then I came to this man, Jabez, and it just seemed like the Holy Ghost jumped at me right here. And he gave us just a little bit of an excerpt of this man's life, told us what he was, why he was named his name, what his prayer was, and that God granted it, and then moved right on naming names for 4 or 5 more chapters. I became very interested in this man Jabez. I want to say tonight that the Bible is filled with people and with problems, but there's principles involved. In other words, all the people that God records in His Bible had problems. There was only one who lived without sin, but there's not any that live without suffering. Only one, sinless, none live without suffering. All of humanity has problems, but there's a principle involved. Them people and we people with problems, we have a God in heaven that understands and knows our situation. Jabez had a problem. It was his name. Now, I got to thinking about this. She named him Jabez because she bore him with sorrow. What the name Jabez means is mama's sorrow. He was sorrow to his mama when he was born. She had no joy in his birth. And she named him that. And he had to carry that name through his life. I think that name probably created a phobia in Jabez. Probably when he was growing up, they would say, "Son, what's your name?" And eventually he would say, "Well, my name's Jabez. You want to do something about it?" And it was a problem that he had to live with on a daily basis. It was given to him. It basically couldn't do anything about that. His problem was creating something and someone out of him that he didn't even like himself. And his problem was backing him in a corner. And the problem that he had was governing his life. He had to, it was there, and he constantly had to defend himself because of the problem that he had. Now I'm headed somewhere. As I begin to think about this, I see that there is a pressure of a problem. Problems bring pressures. And problems, if you're not careful, will create a person out of you that God does not intend to be created. That's right. I remember when I was coming up, I stuttered constantly. I stuttered till I was 12 years old. I would have made an excellent Bible salesman. I could have said, "If you don't buy, I'll read it to you." They would not even ask me in school to give an oral report because we didn't have enough time. I'm not exaggerating. It was awful. It was terrible, and that was such a problem for me. But at the church, they gave me the leading part in the Christmas play. My daddy, he wasn't much on patience or none of that stuff, and my daddy said, "Are they stupid down there?" Don't they know, son? And he wasn't being belligerent. He said, "Don't they know we don't have all night?" And honest before the Lord, the whole community, the house was packed more than it had ever been They come to hear Stuttering Eddie make a fool out of himself. And oh, Lord, that soul brought fear to me. And I know God knows what the future holds. I had no idea. But I went through that whole play and never stuttered and hadn't stuttered since. Now, I do butcher the English language, but I do it without stuttering. And God knew what he was doing. But if had that continued, I'd have never been able to do what God's given me to do now. That would have been an impossibility. And I thought about Jabez. How that name, he had to carry it with him. You may have a situation, maybe nobody much knows about it, but it's got you backed in a corner. And if it wasn't for that particular thing, you feel like you could be set free. I know I'm on target tonight, and this is a strange message, but it's what God said give. It was a daily problem. It was a determining problem. It was making a person out of him that he didn't like and nobody else wanted to be around. He would never be the person that God wanted him to be if he didn't get victory over this name. So I see the pressures of a problem. And I see, and let me say, the prescription that's provided. Only the Lord could have brought all of this together. I believe his problem drove him to his Bible. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I'll say this. Whatever problem you have, if you'll start traveling down through the pages of the Word of God, you're going to find somebody in there that's having basically the same difficulty you're having. That's what I love about the Bible. It's a book about people. Oh, it's a book about God, but it's a book about people with problems. And I believe that the problem, can I say this? If a problem drives you to your Bible, it may turn out to be a real blessing. And I want to say that what caused him to want to call on God? What caused him to do that? Normally you don't ever pray until you read your Bible. What caused him? I'm running ahead of myself, but why did he call on the God of Israel? I believe he started in Genesis and he's reading through there about how God created everything, and he got this idea, boy, this God's a big God. And he's coming right on down and he's reading, and he comes to Genesis 35. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. Well, just give me a minute. Genesis 35, verse number 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. What does Benoni mean? Look over in the margin of your Bible. The son of sorrow. Now, Jabez says, whoop, I found myself in the Bible. Here's another one that was named Benoni because he caused his mother sorrow when she birthed him. See, Jabez is an Aramaic name. Benoni is a Hebrew name, and both of them mean the same thing, son of sorrow.
And Jabez says, oh boy, but he didn't stop reading there. Oh Lord. And she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Now, I wondered, you know, Rachel, Jacob had two wives, God bless his heart. And the Bible said, you know, he worked 7 years for Rachel, ended up with Leah, who was tender-eyed. That bite just simply means she was hard to look at. And then he worked 7 more years for Rachel, and then he worked 7 more years to take care of them. 20 years he worked for Laban. Now he's headed back. And Rachel, he loved Rachel. And she's the one that had him wrapped around her little finger. You can read the life. Everything she said, do, he did it. Oh boy, he did it. And normally, I'm just taking my time tonight. Normally, when there's someone drawing their last breath and they give a request, you will do your best to fulfill that request. She says to the midwife, and I'm sure Jacob's there, call his name Benoni. Jacob says to the midwife, no. Don't call him Benoni, son of sorrow. Call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Jabez says, boy, I wish my daddy had done that. Now hang with me here. And I see here that Benjamin and that Jacob said, we're not going to fulfill his mama's last request. Why would Jacob not fulfill his dying wife's last request to name that boy Benoni? Because Jacob's had to live with a name. Jacob knows what it means to have to live with a name that you got to fight. What does the word Jacob, name Jacob, mean? It means transplanter. It means surplanter. It means do business with me and I will beat you to death. Go in business with me and I will come out on the better end. Now, Jacob had to live with that name. So he says, I don't want this boy to have to go through what I've had to go through. When God is getting ready to bring Jacob back home to Bethel, God chose a bout with Jacob. What did God do with Jacob? He wrestled with him. Why did God choose a wrestling match? Because I believe Jacob was a professional wrestler. You know why? Because God, when he's getting ready to touch you, is going to break you at your strongest point. And when you got a name like Jacob, you better be big enough and man enough to take care of yourself. And Jacob had never been beaten. And the Lord, well, I just need to read it. We find here in Genesis chapter number 32, you know the story well. You folk have been schooled in this. The Bible said in verse 24 of Jacob of Genesis 32, and Jacob was left alone. You know, if God's ever going to do anything for you, And he's ever going to say anything to you, he'll probably get you alone to do it. If he's ever going to change you, it probably won't be in a multitude. He'll probably do it when he gets you alone. I know what I'm talking about. And I see here that he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now remember something. I'm not preaching about Jacob. I'm preaching about Jabez. Jabez is reading this. He's wanting to know how in the world did this guy get, how did he get loose from that name? Good Lord, I'm reliving all of this. And the Bible said that the man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevail not against him. Listen carefully. When he saw, who saw? When the angel of the Lord, that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. When the angel of the Lord saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob. It ain't that Jacob couldn't prevail against the angel of the Lord. When he saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob, you know, God didn't want to pin Jacob for the three count. God didn't want to pin Jacob. God wanted to touch Jacob. God don't want to have to put you flat on your back. He wants you to respond to his touch. And so I see here that God, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, please get the picture here. Jacob here wrestling with the Lord. Somebody said, could the Lord not have pinned him? Why, sure. But let me reiterate, he didn't want to pin him. He wanted to touch him. And you know where God touched Jacob? In the area of his strength. Every wrestler will tell you if he ever breaks his hip, he's done. I've talked to professional wrestlers. And I asked one who had gotten saved, and I preached with him at the end of his life. And I said to him, I said, sir, where's the most strategic point in a wrestler's, in his body? He said, in the hollow of his thigh. Now, what's God doing? God's affixing Jacob to where he can't depend on Jacob no more. God's affixing Jacob to where he can't operate in Jacob anymore. He can't operate in the energy of the flesh anymore. You know what God wants more than anything? He wants to operate through you. He wants you to be a channel. He's not interested in how much you can get done. He's interested in how much he can do through you. Well, if you never get a hold of that, it'll change your life. Oh, it ain't how I can get it done. It ain't how big we are. It's who he is. That's what's important. I'm so fed up to hear with personality meetings. I'm so tired, boy, if we could get this one or that one. Here's how I am. If God wants to channel through one of these young ladies or one of these young men for his glory to be revealed, that's what I'm for. I want to see him and his power. It ain't who we are, it's who he is. And I keep wanting to say that. There's no one to compare with him. He's a great Savior. Jacob now, he's wrestled with him. God's touched the hollow of his thigh. And he said, now this is the Lord saying to Jacob. And he said, let me go. See, Jacob ain't wrestling no more. He's a hanging on. If God can ever get you to where you'll quit wrestling with him and just hang on to him, it'll be a blessing in your life. Jacob's not fighting anymore. His fighting ability is over. His wrestling ability is over. He's not, what he's doing now when the Lord said, let me go, he ain't wrestling now. He's a hanging on for dear life. And he, you know what Jacob said to him? He said, I can't let you go till you bless me. He said, you fixed me to where I can't do it no more. Now you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to help me. Anybody getting any of this? Now I ain't preaching about Jacob. I'm preaching about Jabez. Jabez reading all this. Oh, listen to me, young folk. Don't get caught up in this modern way. Don't get caught up in this contemporary mess. Don't get caught up in that. There's a God in heaven that can be just as real to you as he's been to anybody. We're going to need you in these days. Quit fighting with the Lord. Just hang on. And if you'll keep hanging on, he'll bless you. Now watch this. He said in verse 26, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Now love this. And he said unto him, oh, what's thy name? Well, you know the Lord knew what Jacob's name was. But he wanted Jacob to admit who he was. And he said, my name's Jacob. You know what Jacob was wanting God to do? Listen, get this if you miss everything else. You know what Jacob was wanting God to do? He was wanting God to bless him as crippled Jacob. He still wanted to be Jacob. But God said, son, I can't bless you as Jacob. But I can change your name and bless you. I can change you. I can't bless you like you are. I can't bless you in who you are. But I can change you and bless you. You know what the most of us need? We need to be touched by God and changed from who we are. We've operated, we've been talking about the complacency that's running throughout the land in the days, in these days. You know why that is? Because we've learned to do it ourselves. We have learned to do it ourselves. Oh, and God said, oh, if you let me touch you, I can change you, I can bless you, and you'll walk different than you ever have before. Most folks not interested in this old time preaching. But we better get interested in it or we're going to die. We're going to die. Boy, I'm telling you, there's something running all over me here. I ain't had this to happen to me in a while. I'm trying to get you to understand until we fall in love. I said this to my congregation Sunday. I said until there is a display of God, there's going to have to be a desire for God. Jacob said, you got to bless me. God said, I can't bless you as Jacob. But I can bless you if you'll let me change you. So the Lord said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and watch this, and hast prevailed. Guess who come out the winner of that match? Israel. Guess who come out the winner? The Lord told him, said, Jacob, you have prevailed. You're the one. How in the world did he prevail? Give himself to the Lord. Hung on to the Lord, touched him and blessed him. Oh, I hope you can get that. One of my young preachers at the church Sunday, I just mentioned this thing of cryptocurrency and artificial intelligence. And I said, everybody's thrilled to death about it, especially the administration, and I appreciate what's going on. Don't get me wrong. I voted for him. I'd vote for him again. I'm just simply saying he's real big on this one world government, bringing it all together. In the midst of the blessing, we're a victim of prophecy. In the midst of blessing, we're victims of prophecy. And we're seeing it all come together. One of my young men went in and just put a verse in, pulled up AI, artificial intelligence, and said to whatever it is you say it to, and he typed it in, said, I need you to put together a message in out of the King James for the Baptist theology. And it printed him out an outline of that verse. Good outline. He brought it and showed it to me. I thought, boy, that'll preach. And then I thought, no, that's the prince and the power of the air that's doing all of that. I'm going to get in trouble here. Somebody say, preach, you got Facebook. No. Man, that went over like a lead balloon. You know why we're so downtrodden in these days? You know why we're so defeated and so beat down? We've got the problems of the world at our hands. Back years ago, in the horse and buggy days, they didn't know what went on next door till next week. They were just secluded, but we've got the problems of the whole world right here. And we're more involved in that than we are with God. I've done dug a hole. I just wells to pull the dirt in on me. Somebody said, preacher, do you not use technology to bring to the pulpit? Well, just let me ask you something. I'm in trouble. Oh, thank you. Do you not use a electronic notebook in your pulpit? I preached it at a preacher's meeting, and I ain't never been asked back. Because everybody that got up before me did. And I don't know if it's the Lord, the devil, or me, or what it was. But I said, looky here. I said, what? What if I brought my King James Bible to the pulpit? And then I brought a Playboy magazine with it. What if I brought a Playboy magazine with it? Now, I ain't going to open the Playboy magazine, but what if I was going to preach out of the Bible, but I had it with me in my pulpit? I said, how would you like that? Well, they got quiet as a church mouse. Nobody said what a good message it was after the service. But I'm just trying to get us to understand this right here is a holy place. Somebody said, preacher, you're just too antique. You're too old fogey. I'm telling you, we're missing God because of these things in these days. And I don't know how I got off on that, but I'm just simply saying we need God. We got to have God. We got to have His power. We need God in these days. I'm not fussing, I'm just preaching. Jacob, Tomorrow, Jacob's facing a foe that he's not going to be able to win. Esau's done said, next time I see him, I'm killing him. And tomorrow, he's facing Esau, the biggest foe that he's ever faced. And it was his own brother. There's a message in that. It was his own brother. Biggest foe that he'd ever faced, and he knows he's not going to be able to do it now. So what's he needing? He needing a touch from God so he can get victory in this battle that's coming tomorrow. He knows he can't do it in Jacob, but he can in the God of Israel. I got to close. Now, back to our text. And Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called on the God of. And Jabez called on the God, not of Abraham, not of Isaac, not of Jacob. He called on the God of Israel. Why is it? Because it's the God of Israel that got Jacob changed. And if God can change Jacob, he can change Jabez. His name may not change, but the God of heaven can change him. He called on the God of Israel. You know what he said? Oh God, look at his prayer. He said he called on the God of Israel. Oh, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He said, God, if you do that for Israel, if you can change Jacob, God, would you bless me too? That's what Jacob prayed. That's what Jacob asked. Amen. Lord, you got to bless me. Jabez said, God, I see what you've done. I saw what you've done. If you can do that, I found myself in the Bible. I found myself and I found out what you could do. Now, Lord, would you do for me what you did for him? I'm not asking you to change my name. I'm asking you to change me. Oh, that thou would have blessed me indeed and enlarged my coast. Jabez said, Lord, I'm tired of this problem. Got me stuck in the corner. Said, if you'll change me, I can't get out of here myself. But if you'll change me, you can get me out of here. And you can enlarge my coast. God, you can make me, you through your power can make me bigger than what I am. Oh, Lord of mercy, this has happened to me. He said, bless me. And he said, would you make me a blessed man? Would you make me a bigger man? Enlarge my coast and that thy hand may be with me. He said, I've seen where you touched Jacob. Lord, would that same hand that turned him into Israel, would that same hand touch me too? He's not asking to be crippled. He's just asking for that hand to touch him. Would you touch me? He said, Lord, I want to be a broken man. And then he said that thou wouldest keep me from evil that it might not grieve me. He said, Lord, I'd like to be a better man. He said, I'd like to be a blessed man. I'd sure like to be a bigger man and a broken man and a blessed man. God, here I am. I can't do nothing in myself no more. I've been stuck in this corner. I've had to fight my way my whole life. I was just like Jacob. Jabez is saying, but oh, God of Israel, oh, God of Israel, do for me what you did for him. And I'm done with this. We see the pressure of a problem, the prescription that's provided, the petition of prayer. Then we see the promotion of progress. What do you mean? Now, I want you to remind you that Chronicles is not in chronological order. Look, if you will, back in chapter 2. Boy, when the Lord helped me to see this. 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55. And the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. You know who the scribes were? Those that let other people know what the prophets were saying when they penned it down. And there was a whole family of scribes said, we need to name our community something. Somebody said, why don't we call it Jabez? If God can enlarge his coast, because the Bible said that God granted him what he requested. If God can enlarge his coast, God, would you please do for us what you did for Jabez? Could I say Jacob's God, Jabez's God is our God? Young men, young preachers, I beg of you, I've been in this, and there's been preachers here longer than I have, but for 30 years, I preach 50 weeks a year, every night nearly, and it's broke me, it's wore me out, and my time's short, I can't, and I'm nothing in myself, nothing, but young men, I beg of you. Somebody said, well, if I could just get hooked up with that group or that camp or get hooked up with those folks or go to that school. I'm not against getting any of that, but whatever you do, don't forget God. Don't forget God. We got to have God. Let's stand.